Wouldn't cries for peace and security be beneficial in our times? Today's programming is a warning that when you hear those words, be cautious.
Upon taking office, I appointed a special envoy for Middle East peace, world peace. It cannot be the work of one man or one party or one nation. It must be a peace which rests on the cooperative effort of the whole world.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan meets this hour with one of the featured speakers at our next Fall Understanding the Times conference on October 7. J.D. Farag is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. Pastor Farag also does a weekly prophecy update on the YouTube channel. J.D. is here today to discuss the false security behind peace and safety. We begin the conversation with Jan Markell.
Two states for two peoples living side by side in peace and security is not a vague slogan, but a real necessity for the stability in the entire region.
Israel and Palestinians, they can live side by side in peace and security. This is our vision and this is our commitment.
For a new deal. And security and friendship.
She's in use.
My hopes and dreams for Israel are to live in peace. To live in peace and security.
Two states living side by side in peace and security. True security for all Israelis. We will also pursue peace between Israel and Lebanon.
In peace and security.
Israel and Syria.
Peace and security.
And a broader peace between Israel and its many neighbors. Must decide whether we are serious about peace and security. To recognize Israel's legitimacy and its right to exist in peace and security. That's how we will find new pathways to peace and security. That is the work that we must do.
In peace and security.
Peace and security and coexistence.
And welcome to the program. You know, we look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. Now, here's where I'm going for the hour. I have a very special guest with me. I'm going to bring him on after I kind of set the stage for the programming. And you heard an interesting clip there, sound bites, various people talking about, well, I think they're playing off of 1 Thessalonians 5:3. They don't know that, I am sure. I saw recently, and this was after President Trump went to the Middle East and visited in Saudi Arabia, that Israel. I saw a Washington Post headline, Donald Trump saying our vision is one of peace, security, and prosperity. I saw a Newsweek headline, Trump brings hope of peace and security. I saw a Jerusalem Post headline, Netanyahu, all talk security and peace with President Trump. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman and they will not escape. And I believe the sudden destruction would probably be the tribulation. So when we start hearing the terms being bandied about on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis, peace and security, peace and safety, I think we need to pay attention. We'll talk about that and more. I want to welcome back to the programming here of Understanding the Times Radio, Pastor J.D. Farag. He is pastor of the Calvary Chapel in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Pastor J.D., welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Jan.
Your thoughts as you heard some of those clips and the headlines I cited, and then I want to get to a recent message of yours that kind of builds on this, but give me your thoughts.
So 1 Thessalonians 5:3 has seemingly been at the core of virtually all of my prophecy updates as of late, and for good reason, as we just heard in those clips. It does seem to me that peace and security is the clarion call globally, on a global scale, from the likes of which we have with a President Donald Trump. And this, to me, is what I see as the sudden destruction that is coming as a woman travailing in labor. We are closer now I believe, than we have ever been before because of this.
And you and I have talked a little bit about this off air, and I want to just refer to a comment you made to me recently as it concerns this topic. And I also want to refer to a recent update you made. This would have been now a couple of weeks ago, actually. But I want to go back first to 1 Thessalonians 5:3 and the issue of peace and security, but also the fact that this is leading to a deal. What we're seeing going on in the Middle East, what we're seeing in the headlines, what we're seeing daily on news, on the online, on TV, wherever, we're seeing the effort at a deal in the Middle East. And like you said in a recent update of yours, you'd love to see peace in the Middle East. It's probably not likely to happen, but we can deal with that later. But you said to me, what if the ultimate deal maker, after all, President Trump wrote the book, The Art of the Deal, if the ultimate deal maker could get the various parties in the Middle East to sit down and make the ultimate deal? We are not saying that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. We are not saying that any deal he makes is an Antichrist deal, though perhaps down the road an Antichrist figure could step in and confirm something that could be happening here in the forthcoming months or a couple of years.
When you hear those two words, peace and security, it is under the banner of Jews and Palestinians, so-called, living together side by side, vis-a-vis the two-state solution, living side by side as two states in peace and security. Couple of thoughts. First, I really believe that the so-called two-state solution is Hitler's final solution repackaged. And the reason I say that and believe that is because for the Muslims, for the so-called Palestinians, there is no such thing as wanting peace with Israel. Peace with Israel for them means the destruction of Israel. This was Muhammad's M.O., if you will. Make peace with your enemy, then destroy them. Saladin after him, same thing. Make peace with them, then destroy them. Arafat, when he would return from the U.S., would go to Ramallah and in Arabic say, peace for us means the destruction of Israel. But when he was here, he would say, we want peace with Israel.
Right. Well, he came to Camp David in 2000, and I believe that was with Ehud Barak back in 2000 and President Bill Clinton. And Ehud Barak offered Arafat 95% of what he wanted. 95% of what he wanted was offered to him on a platter. He refused it, went back to the Palestinian territories, was received as a hero, and, you know, the rest is history because they don't really want peace. They want war.
Yeah, they want the destruction of Israel.
But I'm going back, J.D., I'm still going back to this potential covenant, your statement to me that the ultimate deal maker, President Donald Trump, could come up with some sort of a deal, could come along, which could be down the road tapped into perhaps in a more significant way. Because you and I are not saying that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. I get emails saying he is. I don't buy into it. I'm sorry. It's not the case.
I don't think he can be. And I don't think he has to be. And I'll explain why I say that. In Daniel 9:27, the he who confirms / enforces the covenant is the one who I believe will put in place by force with many that which was already on the table, so to speak, prior.
On the table, correct.
So now we have who is arguably the ultimate deal maker who is on this quest to achieve that which no one has been able to achieve heretofore. Along with being the ultimate deal maker, Trump is also the quintessential builder. And this is why I'm beginning to believe that a plausible scenario would be for Donald Trump to actually achieve said ultimate deal, bring Jews and Palestinians together with this two-state solution to dwell and live together in peace and security, And one of the ways that he will accomplish this, potentially, is to offer them the building of their temple. And that's going to seal the deal. Again, doesn't mean he has to be the Antichrist.
No.
It's when the Antichrist comes on the scene and confirms it, enforces
it. Exactly. He's the confirmer and the enforcer. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Pastor J.D. Farag, and he pastors Calvary Chapel in Kaneohe, Hawaii. Many of you watch Pastor J.D. on the YouTube updates that he does once a week. They are outstanding. I do encourage you to look them up on a weekly basis. He's one of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2017. That's Saturday, October the 7th, just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. No registration necessary, no cost involved. And we have folks coming literally from all across America this year, I think from around the world, folks will be attending. And find that information at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Other speakers include Amir Sarfati, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, now retired from Congress. I'm going to play a quick soundbite just to build on what we're talking about. This is Prime Minister Netanyahu talking about this kind of peace and security.
I want to thank you especially today for your deep commitment to Israel's security, its well-being, and its future. And I want to tell you also how much we appreciate the reassertion of American leadership in the Middle East. I believe that together we could roll back Iran's march of aggression and terror in this region. I also look forward to working closely with you to advance peace in our region. But for the first time in many years, and Mr. President, for the first time in my lifetime, I see a real hope for change. The Arab leaders who you met yesterday could help change the atmosphere, and they could help create the conditions for a realistic peace. These are all great signs on your historic visits.
And our shared hope for an Israel at lasting peace. We want Israel to have peace. We must take advantage of the situation, and there are many, many things that can happen now that would never have been able to happen before, and we understand that very well. During my travels, I have seen many hopeful signs that lead me to believe that we can truly achieve a more peaceful future for this region and for people of all faiths and all beliefs, and frankly, all over the world. I believe that a new level of partnership is possible and will happen, one that will bring greater safety to this region, greater security to the United States, and greater prosperity to the world. This includes a renewed effort at peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and I thank the Prime Minister for his commitment to pursuing the peace process.
Pastor J.D., I think, you know, I'm reflecting back on Barack Obama's presidency, and it was so obvious how he was fitting into the kind of the end time scenario. We had the Iran agreement, which has made the entire planet more dangerous as we speak. Because of his 8 years, we saw a decline in the culture, the promotion of the gay agenda, etc. We saw an antichrist spirit poured out across the earth. We saw America in decline in those years. We saw the abandonment of Israel. We saw the expansion of global government. Now, I think that leads me to a question, because a lot of this has changed with the new administration, and I'm not making any of these comments here to try to be a partisan and political, but rather to relate things more to the Bible. Do you see Donald Trump fitting into an end-time plan? Now, having said that, we've already talked about this peace and security situation. We've already talked about perhaps he's going to make the ultimate deal, things like that. But other than that, is there other ways you see him fitting into this sort of a mover and a shaker as it concerns the lateness of the hour and the eschatological plan?
Most definitely, and in some ways even more so than Barack Hussein Obama. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because he is welcomed with open arms, especially on the heels of the unthinkable 8 years of Obama's presidency. It almost sort of paved the way in ways that could have never been accomplished had it not been for 8 years of a pro-Islam, pro-Iran Obama. And now here comes Donald Trump, pro-Israel, pro-Christian, and this fits perfectly, precisely into the eschatological plan.
Well, I would agree. You gave an interesting message. This would have been a couple of weeks ago, and I saw it online, as I do weekly, and I think many of my followers do as well, because I hear from them. And you gave an update, and it was, well, words to this effect. I think you suggested that some are suggesting that because of Donald Trump, I mean, Jesus' very return is delayed. And you and I know, J.D., that that is on a schedule that we don't have any control over. God's got it in mind. And nothing we do, nothing Donald Trump does, nothing Barack Obama did is going to alter the plan of the timing of the Lord's return. And I appreciated what you had to say in that particular program. And you said you would like to see Middle East peace, and you'd like to see America prosper again. And why don't you finish my thought there? Because I don't think you think it's going to happen.
I had shared very candidly, actually, about how that I would love nothing more than to see a return of greatness to this great country. My parents immigrated when I was 9 months old to America, and had they not come to America, I doubt very much I would be alive, if even saved. Mm-hmm. And for that, I am so very grateful for this great country. And the same with Israel. I love Israel, and I love the Jewish people. And I would love nothing more than what they themselves have expressed that they would love, and that is to have peace, the peace in Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I don't see that happening. When I look at what is taking place in the world today, I see, instead of a greatness in America or a peace in the Middle East, I see the sudden destruction that comes by way of them saying peace and security. The issue for me, the core issue for me, as I had shared, was that a perceived peace in the Middle East in some form and a perceived greatness in America in some form can lend itself to some thinking, well, we must have more time.
Yes.
Hence the parable that Jesus taught in Matthew 24 about the wicked servant and the righteous servant. The righteous servant was waiting, anticipating his master's return at any time. And conversely, the wicked servant thought he had more time. And this is my concern. This is the core issue, is that there's all this talk of peace, security, prosperity, greatness. And if it is accomplished in some form, then it may lead to those thinking, hey, no hurry, no worry. And it just guts out the urgency of the imminency of Christ's return.
The imminency of folks need to get right with God. And that's just as important. In fact, perhaps even more important if people are delaying that kind of a decision. We're going to pick up on this on my other side of a break. I'm talking to Pastor J.D. Farag, Pastor Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. We have a lot more to cover in the remaining segments. He's one of my speakers, October 7th. Here just outside of Minneapolis, along with Amir Sarfati, Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and as we try to help you understand the times and contend for the faith this coming fall, back in just a couple of minutes.
Don't forget, you can come hear today's radio guest, Pastor J.D. Farag, live and in person at the October 7 Understanding the Times Conference at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Please stay with us. Coming up in just a moment, more details on our next weekend event. But first, our sincere thanks to all of you who've taken the time to write to us during this busy summer season. Every week, more and more of you are writing to tell us how much this program means to you and your family. Please remember to pray for us. If you can, please help us with a tax-deductible gift. We get our mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, or log on to olivetreeviews.org or phone 763-559-4444. Jan will continue with her special guest, Pastor J.D. Farag, right after this fall conference reminder. We are finalizing our 21st Understanding the Times Conference for October 7 at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. Please consider joining us from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There is no cost or registration needed, but you need to make hotel reservations early. Meet believers from across America who take our time seriously but have a hope and expectancy many do not have. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive will be caught up in the air. In other words, he was completely sure it's going to happen in his lifetime. And that's the way we should live, as if it is going to happen at any given minute.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And to me, that's a great picture of Bible prophecy for us. Knowing what's coming gives you peace of mind. And the Bible tells us that prophecy has a calming influence on our lives.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
That's not to be dismissive of the seriousness of what's happening in the world today. But thankfully, we have prophecy in the Bible that tells us not only what's going to happen at the time of the end, but why it's going to happen and where it's going to lead. And by the way, spoiler alert, we win.
Michelle Bachman.
These people don't give up. That's what we don't understand. That is everything for them, is their strategy to get to one world government. And they will do anything, including lawless actions, to get there.
Visit our website for details, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Helping you stay informed on issues that could change your life.
Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying, there is peace and security. Then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape.
The Lord always sends forth watchmen to warn. He always does. He never does anything till he warns.
Every week for years on the internet, Pastor J.D. Farag has been updating a Prophecy Watch program. His YouTube videos have quite a following around the world. He's with us this hour to discuss with Jan the importance of Bible prophecy. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. Remember, you can get a CD of any program, become a CD subscriber. You need to call us on that. The program's posted to my website every Saturday. So if you can't catch the entire program, you can always get it at olivetreeviews.org. You want to go to radio, and I think we got 5 to 6 years of programming posted there. But I'm spending this hour with Pastor J.D. Farag, and he's a familiar voice to a lot of you. Others, perhaps, if you're not a fan of watching various presentations on YouTube, which I happen to be because for just 100 reasons, I think I learn more there than a lot of places. I just never miss Pastor JD's weekly update. He calls it a prophecy update. He often emphasizes the Middle East, but not necessarily. Kind of looks at the whole scenario of things going on in the last days, as I try to do on this program as well. And Pastor JD, we were talking about various things related to the covenant that's going to be signed eventually between Israel and the Antichrist, and they're going to sign a covenant. He's going to be their friend for 3.5 years, even going to let them build that temple in Israel. Intriguing thought as to what happens to the Dome of the Rock. You have any thought on that? You weren't raised in Lebanon. Your parents were. You ever hear any conversation about what might happen to that Dome of the Rock?
I have over the many years, but I still come back to this notion that it will be built without disturbing the Dome of the Rock. And this because of the prophecies concerning the outer courts belonging to the Gentiles.
Okay.
It is my belief that on the Temple Mount today, there is the perfect footprint for the new temple to be rebuilt. And so I do not believe that there will be anything that will disturb the Dome of the Rock.
So in essence, they're going to be standing side by side then.
Yes, I believe that.
Well, for that even to happen, the Antichrist would have to perform quite a miracle.
Signs and wonders.
Signs and wonders, yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did you want to pick up on things we were talking about in segment number one? We need to move on to some other topics, but I rushed you a little bit, and I apologize for that.
No worries. I just really am watching very closely this quintessential builder and ultimate deal maker and the powerful influence that he has and the pressure that he wields with both the Jews and the Palestinians. I was reading the Times of Israel, and they quoted Defense Minister Lieberman as saying that we are, quote, closer than ever to an agreement with the Palestinians. And they see this recent, even stunning alignment of the nations concerning Qatar as a new opportunity for the Netanyahu government to accept a deal. And he goes on to say that because, quote, because Trump has arrived on the scene, that it now seems very possible. And he is, quote, pushing Israel and the Palestinians. And Netanyahu is, quote, making every effort. So this is why it is now, today, as we speak, closer than ever.
I had sent you, actually I sent you several articles. One I might have written myself, and that is on the fact that the church today is a little indifferent to these topics that we're talking about for this entire hour. In some cases, the church is a little hostile to some of these topics. Obviously, you're not. Obviously, there's several Calvary Chapel pastors that I know who remain very staunch defenders of eschatology and the doctrine of the things to come. On the other hand, I think there's been a little bit of a shakeup in Calvary Chapel. Are you able to talk about that? We don't have to name names, but I know you have said publicly, so I'm not talking about secrets here. You have said publicly, no matter what else happens, you will hold to defending the Word of God as it talks about the theology of things to come. But perhaps some in Calvary Chapel are wavering on that.
Sadly, yes. While I understand the calling of some to move in a different direction as they sense the Lord is leading them, I am more resolute than I ever have been concerning Bible prophecy. And this for a number of reasons, chief of which is I truly believe we are witnessing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy coming to pass like never before. And so I did publicly reiterate my position in this regard. And sadly, it has caused some to, you know, criticize my week in and week out banging of the prophecy drum, as it were. But I just do not have permission from the Lord.
Sure.
To stop, and
of course,
I will not.
Nor will I, but you are in a denomination, quite frankly, one of the few that remains emphasizing this. I work with so many, Pastor Tom Hughes, Jack Hibbs, Ray Bentley. You know, I mean, they're just solid guys. But I want to play a clip here. This is of a pastor. Many will recognize the name. And after I play the clip, I want your perspective on it. I think I know your perspective. Not all my listeners know it. It happens to be Pastor Greg Boyd. He headquarters out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. I think most listeners know him from the books he's written. Furthering the dilemma that you and I face, and that would be some indifference, even some hostility towards Israel, towards end times. Let me just play that 3-minute clip.
One study I read said that while there's about 30% of evangelicals who would identify with Christian Zionism and would, you know, hold to a strong view of prophecy and stuff like that, over 80% hold that Israel is still central to God's plan for world history. So this is not at all a minority view. And it's likely that some of you hold this view. I held this view. When I first became a Christian, I assumed everybody did. To be Christian just meant this is your view of Israel. I believe that those passages that I read earlier have been twisted. And I'm going to here give 4 reasons why I think that is the case. I'll lay all my cards on the table here. This is a topic about which I have some passion. I think there's quite a bit at stake here, not just that it results in this position results in people who are called to be peacemakers obstructing a peace process. That is itself a significant implication. But it, as I hope we'll see here, it affects our view of the gospel. It affects our view of Jesus. It has ramifications for our life. I'm passionate about this, but as I share this, I want you to know you don't have to agree with me. I always say people have the right to be wrong, and I'll honor that. But I'll humbly share this this perspective, and I just ask people to chew on it. Because for some of you, maybe a lot of you, I don't know. I was very surprised. 80%. That was surprising to me. But it's very widespread, so it's likely that some of you hold this view, and I ask you to consider this, all right? Four reasons. No, reason number one, why I think these passages and passages like them have been twisted. Forever does not mean unconditionally forever. Forever does not mean unconditionally forever. You find there are a number of verses that say, I give you this land forever, I make you these promises forever, but forever, in the Old Testament at least, does not mean unconditionally forever. Remember that the old covenant, the first covenant that God had with his that nation of Israel, it was a conditional covenant. Read Deuteronomy 27:28. The Lord says, here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you walk in my ways, honor these laws, then I will bless you, and you will have this land, and you will prosper. But if you don't walk in my ways, don't honor my name, well, then I will not bless you. Protection will be lifted from you, and other nations will have their way with you, and you will be taken off the land, and you'll go into exile, and you're going to suffer. It was always a conditional kind of covenant. And so when the Lord promises things forever, it's on condition that they'll be walking in obedience with him. There came a point, in fact, several times, where the Lord says to his people, because of your obstinacy and your ongoing rebellion against me, the covenantal curses are going to be applied. I'm lifting protection. Here's what he says in Jeremiah 17. Through your own fault, you will lose the inheritance. Yeah, that inheritance that I promised you forever, you're going to lose it.
Okay, Pastor JD. Christians ought to be pretty nervous right now, because if God could break his covenant with Israel, then they better watch out. He's going to break his covenant with us as well. The great thing about God is he's a covenant maker and a covenant keeper. Not according to Pastor Greg Boyd, who says the Jews have lost, which is the springboard for replacement theology, the church is the new Israel.
Jan, as I was listening to that clip, I was reminded of when God cut covenant with Abraham. Abraham did not cut covenant with God. God cut covenant with Abraham, and when he did, he put Abraham into a deep sleep. You cannot conditionally break a covenant that you did not cut. This is an everlasting covenant, right, with Israel. And if this is not an everlasting covenant with Israel, then we might want to look outside our windows and see if the sun is still shining in the sky. I can walk two blocks to my beautiful beach where I live and make sure that the ocean and the shoreline is still there. And tonight, I can walk outside of my house and look up to the sky and see if the stars are still there, because God declares that if I break that covenant that I cut, then those things will cease.
Amen. And I do find it interesting that you have this kind of passion with your, quite frankly, to be blunt, your Arab background. I would expect Amir Sarfati, even myself, to have this kind of passion, and we do. But somebody with your background, it's just a little bit unusual, and obviously God's done a wonderful thing in your life. You're listening to Understand It at Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Kaneohe, Hawaii, Pastor J.D. Farag. Check out his weekly YouTube updates on eschatology, Bible prophecy, and he's one of my speakers Saturday, October 7th, just outside Minneapolis, Understanding the Times 2017. Amir Sarfati, Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and Pastor J.D. Farag. And J.D., as you know, we've kind of covered this topic actually before, I think previous interviews, that some of the churches today pretty indifferent on this. And as Pastor Tom Hughes, and that's 412 Church in San Jacinto, California, wrote tremendous article. Number one, pastors don't understand it. Number two, they fear offending their members. Number three, they are concerned about scaring their people about the last days. Number four, they might lose tithes by talking about the end, and they could then be identified with the loony fringe. And sadly, we've got several people in the Loony Fringe, because the Herald Campings did what we believe no good with some of the crazy things he came up with, and others. Edgar Weisenhant back in 1988. So, I mean, what are you hearing from some of your fellow pastors as it concerns this topic?
Well, that list of five, which I've heard a similar list from Joel Rosenberg as to why it is that pastors today do not teach Bible prophecy. And what is so striking to me is that it's been my experience that it's the opposite that's true. There is such a hunger today for answers. And we can give to every man an answer of that hope that lies within us. And I don't know how it's possible to separate the blessed hope from the teaching of Bible prophecy. It is heartbreaking, really. And the only thing I can come up with is that pastors like myself who don't teach on Bible prophecy don't out of sheer ignorance. That's the only thing that it doesn't excuse it, but to me, that's the only thing that would explain it. And then if that's the case, they need to study to show themselves approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't know how you can teach the Bible without teaching prophecy when a third of the Bible is prophecy.
Exactly.
It's impossible.
You're not teaching the full counsel of God. And,
that's right.
And as I said, there are many kind of reasons or excuses. You know, there are some sort of apocalyptic figures, I think, on the scene. And one I've written about, and I'm not suggesting he's playing any kind of an antichrist role at all, but I think we need to be watching Emmanuel Macron, who's the new president of France. He was backed by the globalists. As a matter of fact, the article I saw on Front Page Magazine was titled "The Globalist Empire Strikes Back in France," meaning that Emmanuel Macron's election was kind of the globalist empire making strides back in Europe. And because Hillary Clinton, chief globalist, was obviously derailed back in November, and the globalists were thrilled that this young man came to power in France, consummate globalist backed by George Soros. He's even quoted as saying there's no such thing as a French culture. Now, when somebody says that, he's probably saying that because he's more interested in the global culture. And we're not pinning any kind of a tail on this guy whatsoever, but I do think we have interesting people on the horizon, or actually in power now, that would bear watching. Would you agree with me that would be the case?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Because of what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church in chapter 2 of his second epistle, I truly believe that the rise of the likes of a Macron would indicate that we are about to be removed in the rapture of the church, because this Antichrist, whoever he is, cannot be revealed until the church is removed.
We're likely never to know who he is, obviously, because as you said, the church is removed and then all of this comes into play. But I still think, being watchmen on the wall, we need to pay attention to some of the things that are breaking, including a story like this one of Emmanuel Macron. And folks, we do not pin the tail on the Antichrist or the false prophet on this program, nor does Pastor J.D. Farag. We just don't go there. But that doesn't mean we can't at least look with eyes that are speculating on some of these things. We have to wonder. And I think it's fun to do that anyway, J.D., as long as it is, you know, done in with balance and sort of reason.
Right. Well said.
I wanted to make a couple of comments, and that is the indifference of this topic. And then in my last segment, I want to talk a little bit more specifically about the rapture and the attack on it, because you and I observe that on a daily basis. But I think that a lot of churches today, JD, are focusing on younger people who are far more interested in the social justice issues. And even some of the conferences that I peruse, the Justice Conference, even Catalyst, I'm sure some good things go on, particularly at Catalyst. But the emphasis would be on the social justice issues, the postmodern issues, which are going to be more concerned with the plight of the so-called Palestinian, certainly not focusing on Israel-related issues, and perhaps you have noticed that as I have.
Another heartbreaking reality, truly.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaking reality. That's a good way of talking about it. And then we have the Christ at the Checkpoint, which is every other year in Bethlehem. And there, that's a gathering of the religious left with a few evangelicals sprinkled in there who, frankly, probably shouldn't be there, but kind of an Israel-bashing event every other year in Bethlehem. When I get back, I'd like to focus a little bit on the topic that you and I hold so dear. That would be the blessed hope, the rapture of the church. And you have said, J.D., that there is actually a satanic attack on it, and I want to talk about that for a few minutes. And we'll do that in just a couple of minutes, if you'll stick with me, folks. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
I know you're enjoying today's Understanding the Times program with J.D. Farag. Want to hear it again? You can. Just click on the Radio Archive tab when you log on to olivetreeviews.org. You can order your own audio copy of today's discussion when you phone 763-559-4444. All our programming is uploaded to our website every weekend. All correspondence should be mailed to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In a moment, Jan returns with Pastor J.D. Farag. We'll be right back, right after this.
I have often called Understanding the Times Radio, Radio for the Remnant. Around the world, people have had enough of fake news, slanted news, and evidence that good people are marginalized and unappreciated. That is why this program focuses on the truth and the ultimate good news. If you would like to keep it coming to your neighborhood, please consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries. Give online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call us business hours, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just drop us a note. If you can't financially support, let us know we make a difference in your life. Write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Help us look at today, but with another eye on tomorrow and the ultimate hope that awaits us.
We live in a day when discernment has become an essential part of spiritual growth. Without discernment, we are subject to the deception of the culture and the delusion of false teachers in the church. Rarely will you have the opportunity to hear about discernment about our world like you will with Jan Markell. Each week, we bring you the truth behind the trends in culture and the movements in the church. Be informed and be aware. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
The term for the rapture, harpazo, is used 14 times in the New Testament, and it means sudden snatching to seize or to carry off. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we are to encourage one another with these words or with the concept of the rapture. Couple of issues here. One would be, well, there's an attack on the rapture.
It's unbiblical, I think, in the sense that the thrust of the New Testament, the hope that we're given, is not about us escaping the earth or escaping tribulation. We're promised that we're going to go through tribulation. The hope isn't to escape the earth to go to heaven. Rather, the call all throughout the New Testament is to bring heaven down to earth.
Once again, with the final segment of today's Understanding the Times, here's Jan Markell.
And want to thank those of you who are not only financially supporting us, but praying regularly for Understanding the Times Radio, now on well over 800 radio stations. If you send a gift, would you always tell us what station you're listening to? We really would appreciate that. Check out my print and e-newsletter. That's how I keep you up to date, as well as the website, olivetreeviews.org. Check out Pastor JD's wonderful weekly prophecy updates on YouTube. He's one of my speakers this fall, Saturday, October 7th. I want to wrap up our last segment and talk about a couple of issues here, as time permits. And one would be, well, there's an attack on the rapture. And I think maybe to add emphasis to that, Pastor JD, if you'd allow me to play one more soundbite, it's going to be Pastor Greg Boyd again. And I play him not to pick on him, but because he represents a lot of pastors out there and just what they think of the wonderful message that the King is coming.
The rapture, as I mentioned last week, is this belief that when Jesus returns, Christians are literally going to be suctioned up into the clouds, and they're going to go away someplace else, and then all the nasty stuff found in the book of Revelation is going to take place. That's when Jesus comes back and slaughters a lot of people, and the beast, and the Antichrist, and all those earthquakes, and all that kind of stuff. So, but the Christians will be away. We're going to be safe while this world is going to kind of go to hell in a handbasket. I'll say more about this belief in the sixth week of this series. But right now, I just want to share a few reasons why I think that interpretation of these verses is mistaken. Whether you believe in the rapture or not, I don't think you can find it in this passage. But the first thing is this. We have to understand the passage the way that the first century audience would have understood it. And when the voice says, that trumpet voice says to John, come up here, I want to show you some things. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that probably they would have understood the voice to be saying to John, come up here, I want to show you some things. That's all the verse says. You don't find a hint of a church in that verse, let alone a church at the end of history in that verse. He's talking to John, and then he shows John what he wanted to show him. It's just bad biblical interpretation to read into a verse something that's not there, that's not even hinted at. So that's the first problem with this interpretation. Second thing is that this theology, which I call an escapist theology, because the hope is that we're going to escape, and the world's going to be in all sorts of trouble, we get to escape. That is, I believe, unbiblical and has some very negative ramifications. It's unbiblical, I think, in the sense that the thrust of the New Testament, the hope that we're given, is not about us escaping the earth or escaping tribulation. We're promised that we're going to go through tribulation. The hope isn't to escape the earth, to go to heaven. Rather, the call all throughout the New Testament is to bring heaven down to earth. God loves this earth. He doesn't give up on his real estate. He wants to recover, redeem, restore, renew this earth. And he wants to use his people to do it. And so Jesus says that when we pray, we should pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. That's just the rule of God. Let your rule come, which means let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're to live in a way, and we're to pray in a way where we're bringing heaven down to earth. So the world can see in the church a preview of heaven, as much of heaven as possible, what the final state of things will be. But it's not to abandon this earth to destruction. No, we're to be restorers of the earth, keepers of the earth.
Well, again, that is Pastor Greg Boyd. He's a Twin Cities pastor, a prominent author. And Pastor J.D., again, we're made out to be escapists. That's not quite true. I mean, we would be escaping the tribulation, but the Bible promises that we will.
Oh, boy, where do I start? Let me address Revelation 4:1, which he seems to reference about John being told, come up here, I want to show you some things. That's not exactly how the verse reads, and I realize it's a loose paraphrase, but in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 4, John is told to come up hither, and it is to reveal to John what will take place metatauta in the Greek, after these things. After what things? After these things in church history. Everything from chapter 4, verse 1 on is yet future. And what's interesting is, in chapters 2 and 3, you have the seven letters to the seven churches. And John is told to come up hither after the churches in chapters 2 and 3. And by the way, the word church is mentioned 19 times in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of Revelation, and the church is not mentioned again from chapter 4, verse 1 on. Why? Because chapters 6 through 19 are about the seven-year tribulation, and the church is not mentioned in chapters 6 through 19 because the church is not in the seven-year tribulation. I find it rather interesting that he would then refer to how we're promised tribulation. That is a complete misinterpretation. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "Yes, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." But then when you get to Revelation chapter 3 to the church of Philadelphia, they're going to be kept from the tribulation that is going to come upon the whole world. That's the hour of tribulation, the seven-year tribulation. I think there was one other reference, you know, the rapture is this great escape. Well, is that not what Paul said? Did not Paul delineate in Thessalonians between the we and the they? We who are alive and remain will be caught up, harpazo, in the Greek, rapturous in the Latin. We will be caught up. We will escape, but they will not escape. We will escape. So if he has a problem with the rapture being the escape, then he's got a problem with the Apostle Paul and the authority of Scripture.
Honestly, not to pick on him, I know of him quite well, but we've not met face to face. But because he represents so many pastors and theologians today who think and teach like he does, in spite of the fact that things are speeding up so, and you use a wonderful illustration, you relate it to a tachometer. How do you say that?
Interestingly enough, maybe even ironically enough, in the same letter to the Church of Philadelphia, Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." I am coming quickly. Again, Revelation chapter 22, I think it's verse 12, he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly." That word quickly in the original language of the Greek New Testament is tachos, where we get our English word that we use for tachometer. Now, what is a tachometer? It is a gauge that gauges revolutions per minute, RPMs. In other words, the time is already set, 1 minute. What's not set and what is gauged is the revolutions per that minute. And what Jesus is saying when he says, "Behold, I am coming quickly," he is saying, "I am coming at a time when things are revved up." And this ties into the analogy of a woman travailing in labor. What happens when there are labor pains? They come quickly. The baby's coming when the labor pains are revved up, if you will, in greater intensity and in greater frequency.
Well, there is tremendous pushback, as you well know, and you've even called the attack on particularly pre-trib rapture satanic, and I would agree. I know as we say that, J.D., that really makes some people angry, but I don't know what else you can call it when it's so intense. And when some of the pushback is, quite frankly, if I can be blunt here, it's on the nasty level, some of the pushback to the pre-trib. I don't know what else you can call it other than satanic. Now, having said that, folks, some of you want to debate, and you do debate kindly and respectfully, and I appreciate that, and I'm sure J.D. does as well. But what we don't appreciate is the name-calling and some of the terrible things that have been said here in the last many years.
First, let me say on the onset, first and foremost, that the belief in the pre-tribulation rapture is not a salvation issue. And to have it rise to that level is, I believe, satanic. And here's why I say that. Satan is the author of confusion, the accuser of the brethren, and the father of lies. And this attack on the pre-tribulation rapture has caused so much confusion. It has caused so much division. And it is riddled with so much accusation. And the notion that the pre-tribulation rapture is a lie, to me, comes from the father of lies. You cannot find in Scripture anywhere where the rapture takes place other than prior to the seven-year tribulation, which is the time of Jacob's trouble, Israel's trouble,
right,
not the church's trouble. And it's not Daniel's half week. It's Daniel's 70th week. It's a full week. And it's not the time of the church's trouble. The time of the Gentiles is complete. The church is removed. the bride is taken out. And then God shifts the entirety of his focus and his attention to Israel, his people. And that's the purpose of the tribulation, as one said. It's for the salvation of the Jewish nation.
Yeah, and come on out and meet Pastor J.D. Farag Saturday, October the 7th, just outside Minneapolis. And that's Understanding the Times 2017, along with Amir Sarfati, Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, yours truly, and some other folks that I think you would enjoy meeting. Eric Barger, my radio co-host, will be there as well. And actually, my whole radio team will be present. So I'm hoping you can come on out. There's no cost. There's no registration. You do need to make hotel registrations and encourage you not to wait until the last minute to do that. Pastor J.D. Farag, I want to thank you for joining me for this hour of Understanding the Times Radio. We will do it again before October. And I want to thank you for the lighthouse you are, particularly not just in your church, but online as well. So we really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
Let me just go out of the program. I say this, I kind of read this little closing really very often. I think it's appropriate, particularly today. It says, when the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still. The waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, and the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, he's never late. He is always right on time, and his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
You are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective. Costing us thousands of dollars, this listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With the blessed hope in view, each week Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview, 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.